Another thing I want to mention also before we jump in is the way I read cases. There's a way that normal people read cases, and then there's a way that Javier Maldonado reads cases. So for all of you who are like, what the heck are you talking about, Javier? I feel your pain. Feel my pain, please, because we'll get into that right now. And so Vasquez, Mr. Vasquez, was a person that was convicted of possession of cocaine in Oklahoma. And he challenged two things. He challenged whether the Oklahoma schedule was a categorical match and whether he had to show a realistic probability that Oklahoma actually prosecutes cases involving substances not included in the federal schedules. So Javier, what was the bottom line in that case? How did the court apply the categorical approach?
Right. So the court said that the Oklahoma statute was overbroad. Now, we're sort of disadvantaged because, I mean, I don't practice in Oklahoma. And so I have no idea what Oklahoma law says about the state statute. But it reads very similar to, for example, Texas law. And everyone here probably has seen the Texas Health and Safety Code. It'll read whoever or any person who possesses with intent to deliver or deliver, manufactures, transport. I don't know what else it says. A controlled substance in penalty group 2 or penalty group 1. That's generally what Texas law says in the Health and Safety Codes. And reading Vasquez, that is how the Oklahoma statute reads as well. Now, what is curious is we know here in Texas law that there is case law about the specific drug, the identity of the drug, possibly, maybe not, being an element of the offense. And if you read Vasquez, and if you read later on the other case, Vetcher, it suggests that that these statutes that reference the state schedule, that's the element. That's all that the prosecution has to show to obtain a conviction. I don't know about Oklahoma law, but when we get to Vetcher and talk about it, we can discuss sort of Texas law briefly about it. And so we didn't get a sense in Vasquez about how the state of Oklahoma, what the state of Oklahoma has to prove to obtain a conviction. Is it enough to just identify any drug in the schedule? Let's say the person was caught with marijuana, but it turns out to be cocaine and the indictment says heroin and they're all penalty group 1 and it doesn't matter. I doubt Oklahoma says that. But, you know, that's what the court in the Fifth Circuit, that's what the Fifth Circuit said in the statute, that Oklahoma prosecutors don't need to identify the statute. I don't think that's right. But, you know, whoever litigated did a great job, and maybe we'll know more about it at some point.
Yeah, Javier. So the question here that I would have is essentially, and in my reading of that case, is that they looked at the statute, they found that the Oklahoma statute was overbroad, but nonetheless, they said, well, okay, it's overbroad. Te vamos a fregar with a realistic probability. Is that the reading? And how do we get around that?
Yes. I mean, that's really what they did. I mean, they, in one sense, it feels like the court wanted to reach the realistic probability test issue, because if the identity of the drug is an element, you know, the petitioning non-citizen may not have been able to overcome that. And so what we see in these cases is a very focused way by the court to define and expand sort of how you define the realistic probability test and how do you apply it. And to make sure, I think this was the first case where they reached out and they said, okay, we talked about the realistic probability test in this sentencing case, Castillo Rivera, and now we're going to start using it in immigration cases and in drug and for controlled substance deportation grounds.
Yeah. And so that's really important. I think we should jump very soon. We should jump to the next case and talk about realistic probability in Lopez Ventura. But before we do that, let's talk a little bit more about this exhaustion requirement. What did we learn? What I gathered from there is that the brief controls, that your notice of appeal is very important. I have had the misfortune of working on an appeal with Javier, with you, where I've shown you my notice of appeal and was very dissatisfactory to you because the notice of appeal that I had compared to the one that you had, which was 5 pages long, was definitely not up to your standards. So what is it that we're doing there?
So a lot of it is about strategy because you don't know